And hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's KM World Magazine webcast series event. My name is Andy Moore. I'm publisher of KM World Magazine, and I'll be your host and your moderator today. I'm pleased to welcome all of you, a big crowd today, so thanks for coming to today's installment, which is a roundtable discussion, as you heard at the top of the hour. We have three experts today who focus on the very serious subject of email management, among other things. And we're going to stretch out that definition a little bit. But we're calling this event today the Email Dilemma, Balancing the Risk with the Value. Our next speaker, as I said earlier, is Jan Schultes. Jan is Chief Strategy Officer for Xylab North America, and we welcome him now. So please help me welcome Jan Schultes.
Yeah, thank you very much, Andy. I'm very happy to be here. Also, welcome to all the attendees. I saw we have an overwhelming attendance today, which is really interesting because the email problem and the email dilemma has been out there for quite a while now. So, but it still amazes me, like from day to day, how few organizations really solved their email problem. Now, a little bit different topic than Catherine. I would like to focus a little bit more on the archiving of email, and I would like to stretch it a little bit to enterprise information archiving in general, because it's not only email that's causing the problem. There's a lot of other problems there as well, and I don't want to bother you too much with the problems, because I think there are many articles all over the internet about the risks of email. But it was, I think, in 2005 or 2004 that Sue Feldman from IDC talked about email, about being the elephant in the corner that was about to come out. And she warned for the tremendous amounts of information that were captured in email archives and the incredible increase of email communication. What we see now is that there's actually a couple of other elephants in the corner. One of them is social media and multimedia in particular. There's a whole generation there which is no longer communicating by text, but they're communicating by multimedia, by YouTube, by videos. And there's a tremendous amount of records and other electronically stored information. And all of this information holds information assets. There's valuable knowledge in there. There's a lot of valuable things we can learn from the experience of our colleagues and from how we solve problems in the past. But there's also a tremendous amount of liabilities. And this is really a big problem, because the legal department in general wants to delete all the email, where, like, the business people want to keep as much email as possible for just in case they ever need it. This balance between, you know, wanting to keep it but also wanting to limit your liabilities does not only hold for email. It also holds for, you know, everything else that's out there. And there's more and more electronic information that we need to worry about. But what we need to do, we need to make enterprise information management and also enterprise information archiving for everything, including email, part of our daily operating procedures. And then there will be a lot of other problems that we solve as well, such as e-discovery, which I think we're all very worried about. Now, if we take a little bit closer look at archiving in general, one of the big problems of archiving is that there are so many different file formats. We as a company, we support more than 700 different electronic file formats, and there's even more out there that we still don't support. I once talked to somebody at the National Archives, and he told me, we are not a National Archive, but we are the largest computer museum in the world, because we have to maintain all of those old proprietary computer systems back to the 80s and the 90s that nobody supports anymore, but we have to keep them up and running because they contain a lot of valuable digital information. Now, one of the things which we found and which we also developed with a lot of our customers, such as the UN and also the EOP, which I'll talk a little bit more about, is about XML. XML is an open format. Nobody owns it. And XML is perfectly suited for timeless, sustainable, open archiving. There's no vendor that can make XML proprietary. You can store XML information everywhere. You can link it to different native file formats. It's very scalable, it's very easy to store, you can store it without a database, you can use cheap storage devices, you can use any storage device. And what we've seen is that with this particular file format, we've seen that a lot of our customers have been able to archive tremendous amounts of information at very, very low cost. And one of the very good things is that XML is also accepted by all the archives worldwide, and it's also very, very easy to exchange information. Now, let's take a look closer, because there's all these different types of information. Catherine already said it. There's all the information from, you know, SharePoint. There's the network folders. There's a lot of people actually are recreating the same chaos that they created in the file servers now also in SharePoint. There's a lot of email archives, different formats. There's a lot of other proprietary repositories, database proprietories. There's the cloud, and then there's all these different types of information. And all of these types of information are important for e-discovery, for investigations, if you're being investigated by a regulatory authority, for information audits. More and more organizations do information audits themselves. And of course, we all need to apply records management principles of retention and transfer on these data collections to make sure that they don't keep growing and growing and growing. And also, we want to get kind of rid of all the additional information that doesn't have any value for us. We want to keep the information that's valuable. We want to implement information valuation and retention. Now, having said that, I want to tell you or focus a little bit on search, because one of the big problems with email and also all this information in general is that there are particular applications such as e-discovery, or for instance, if you want to do an early case assessment or you want to do auditing, that you do want to find more relevant information. And there's a lot of search out there. I just wrote a small story for Government Computer News, where I'm actually also focusing a little bit on different types of search, and not all the search is the same. And I would really like you to take a look at this slide and see that there's all these different search tools. We call that exploratory search. And exploratory search is very useful if you don't know exactly what you're looking for. And that's really the case what you see with a lot of investigations. People don't know what words to use because they haven't created the data themselves. And there's a lot of value that you can take out of your, or can get out of your information by using the right search technology. In emails, there's some additional complications. Email is a very complicated format. We see emails where people have deliberately hidden information. They use non-OCR PDFs or bitmap as attachment, or they store an email in a zip file. And when you're going to search email, you want to make sure that you really understand how to search email. This is an example which I found the other day is, and I don't know if you've seen this, but there has been some news around this about the Lehman Brothers case. They had in total more than 3 petabytes of information, which is, if you printed, about 350 billion pages. But what they did is they defined a number of negotiated booleans. And what's very interesting is at the bottom of the page, you can see some examples. You see that these boolean queries include wildcards, they include proximity statements, they include complex nested booleans with and ors. And this is how lawyers define what is relevant for e-discovery. They define exactly these type of queries. And there were more than 37 of these type of sets of queries. Now, you want to make sure that your search engine can execute this really fast on 350 billion pages. And believe me, there are not a lot of search engines that can do that within the time that's set for it by the e-discovery deadlines. Here's another case. This is one of our customers, the Executive Office of the President. They've been using our software for a number of years now, and they are one of the organizations that really encouraged and really appreciated our XML file storage, because one of the things that they have to do is that at the end of the administration, they have to disclose information to the National Archives. And at the end of the Clinton administration, all the data was stored in a proprietary email archiving system, and it took them a very, very long time to convert all that email to a format that was accepted by the National Archives. Now, these days, what they did is they built this system under the Bush administration, at the end of the Bush administration. And at the end of the Bush administration, what they did is all they had to do is just transfer the file servers to the National Archives, because the National Archives accepts the open file format, the open XML format that we have. And this made it very, very easy to archive the system. Also, the certs allowed them to do a lot of very detailed certs. They turned the time that was required for searching emails to do disclosures from a pretty long period to a much, much smaller period, and it's very easy for them to disclose. Now, this is all part of a larger picture, because email is just part of enterprise information management. And you can see here in this picture that email is only the circle there at the second row at the left. And email often is used for litigation response in a EDRM, e-discovery type of process. Now, what we encourage people is to think about litigation readiness. And litigation readiness often starts with your legally most risky archives, which includes email, but it also includes human resource files, customer files, project files. And you have to implement retention and disposition schedules. You also have to be able to apply early case assessment. And that's when you really want to find all the relevant information that's out there. Because if you don't find something and your opposing counsel finds something, it can be extremely embarrassing. And this is why information valuation, information retention, and also your plan, a roadmap to enterprise information archiving is very important, because you cannot just implement an enterprise information archiving system out of the blue. You have to make a roadmap and do it step by step and look at your most risky archives, and email is really what is the first one. Okay, if you want to learn more of these topics, I encourage you to visit our podcasts. We have a number of very interesting podcasts on XML for email, the explicit benefits, on how to use text analytics and content analytics for email archiving, records management, and e-discovery. And we also have a blog, which is xylab.wordpress.com, and I encourage you to read it. There's a lot of information there about email archiving, enterprise information archiving, information valuation in relation to knowledge management, and also to understand what the type of searches that you need for different types of application. So that's it. Thank you very much for listening to me. And back to you, Andy.
Thanks very much, Jan. Jan, there's not only an enormous amount of information that we've heard several times today spoken about, but also a complexity. Some of these messages are partly business, partly social, partly casual, partly serious. To what degree do analytics play a role in being able to pull out what's important versus what's not?
Yeah, no, I think that's a very, very good question, Andy, and this is also where we still need to do a lot of evangelizing, not only us, but also KM World, because what we see is that a lot of information these days is generated by machines or with the help of machines. And it's completely impossible to manually categorize and classify all this information. It would probably add another 100% to the federal budget and federal employees if we're going to do that. We cannot also leave all the stuff there. And this is really where content analytics and text mining play a very important role, to automatically categorize and classify data, not only in an e-discovery, where you can almost with the same quality as manual human reviewers, you can implement a machine review process. But it's also extremely important for archiving documents and finding documents that are worth keeping, that contain valuable information, categorize them, classify them, put a retention schedule on them. I think there's more and more tendency that people want to assign a retention period when they create documents, but unfortunately there are still an awful lot of legacy data collections, like PST files, like people that have been collecting before they had a proper archiving system, if they have something in place. And that's where we at Xylab see a great role in the future for content analytics and text analytics. The big problem is that we have to convince and show lawyers, judges, that it is effectively as good or almost as good as human reviewers, and sometimes it's even better. And we also have to convince records managers, and this will take a little bit. This will take time, but eventually we need to use technology in order to manage and continue to manage or start managing all this information.
I think that Jan looks at this quite a bit, because I know that there's a tension in organizations between, you know, risk versus value, and that's kind of what our theme is today.
Mm-hmm.
Jan, can you address that? I mean, I know that I don't know how to phrase it as a question exactly, but I know that it's an issue you look at, is, and your customers struggle with.
No, absolutely. Because what we see a lot is that the end users, like I said, they want to keep as much information as possible just in case they need it, and then the legal departments they encourage people to destroy data as soon as possible, sometimes automatically, and that's a balance which is very hard to address. Now, what we try to encourage people is to really take a very straightforward, simple approach and just start somewhere. Start with the roadmaps. You cannot solve all your problems immediately. But we have a number of samples of filing plans for typical type of organizations. And especially for organizations that are not very large or that are not in a regulated industry, this is very hard. You know, if you are in the FDA industry, a regulated industry, or if you are maintaining airplane engines, or if you are DoD, then, you know, there's all these procedures and guidelines on how to do records management. You get training, there's enforcement, there are records managers. But if you look at companies in an unregulated industry, or smaller companies or smaller organizations, there is often no internal knowledge about creating a filing plan and balancing the value between the value and the risk of information. And there are no records managers. And you know, if you make records management everybody's job, like Jill's saying, then you're sure that nothing's going to happen. And that's where you need to have a very simple process in place. You need to help people to start managing at least the most straightforward and risky archives. And it's really not that hard. We have a lot of samples. We have very easy to read documents about how to develop a filing plan. And they can be downloaded from our website, and then also how to add information valuation and ultimately knowledge management to these type of archives. You have to do some effort, but it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. And especially by using, you know, the right technology, you can make these things really happen in your organization.
Especially
with there's more than 100 hidden properties in an email, an MSG file, and one of them is when somebody actually opened an email. So you can, when you want to make an audit trail, like who knew what when, that is very important information. If you're going to dedupe just on the content of the email, which is the attachment and the text, then you're going to lose all this valuable information about who saw what when.
We've had a couple of what I would call more sort of technical questions from the audience, and Jan, I'll let you grab this first, and then we can go down the loop. You talk about XML being sort of the lingua franca for communications, and it being an open and universally accepted standard, Catherine in the audience wants to know that whether or not for e-discovery, isn't it also important to have native formats?
Absolutely. No, that was a very, very good question. And for time reasons, I didn't dive very deep in it. And I can probably elaborate a little bit more. When I'm talking about XML, what we do, and this is also what NARA and all the other archiving institutions want, is that we store the core structure of the information in an XML file. So for instance, when there's an email, instead of storing the from and the sent and the BCCs and the dates, in a proprietary database, which, you know, makes it very hard to maintain a system when you have to keep your email 7 or 30 years or 50 years in case of the White House. We store all that in XML. And then we also take the body text, we store that in XML. So the most important information we store in XML. But in almost all cases, or in all cases, we also store an original MST or a Word file or an Excel file that's linked to that XML file. And we use the XML file really as where in a traditional database you use a record. But then the big benefit of an XML file is that once you've written it, you never have to convert it again. It's going to stay there. It's non-proprietary. You can search it with any tool. You have access with it with you know, any tool. And even 100 years from now, you can open it and you know the core content, at least of that email. Now, if you want to open the MSG 100 years from now, that's probably also possible, but you need some kind of program, some kind of program that can read the binary information. So when I'm talking about XML, I'm really talking about the core information and the structure, and for instance, in the email, the body text. But we're not going to convert all the attachments to XML. But we do also create XML files where we can store additional information that we can automatically extract from the content of those binary files and use them for document classification and document sorting. And if you want to know more, then go to our website. All of our formats are fully documented, and you can download white papers on exactly how it looks, and it will make it a much easier interview. Still have questions, then feel free to contact me.
With that, we are past the hour, and I know that people have other things that they have to move on to, so I'm afraid we're going to have to wrap up. But this has been fantastic. We could go on, I'm sure, for another hour talking about these things, and I wish we could, and maybe someday we will again. So thank you all for coming, signing off from a somewhat muggy northern New England today. This is Andy Moore. This is KM World. See you next time. Bye-bye.